97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. As we get you ready for BYU, Arizona State coming up on Saturday. Also, Utah taking on San Diego State. Hans, I'm going to hop on a plane. Utah State will be in Colorado Springs taking on the Air Force Academy. That game coming up tomorrow as well. That game will kick off at 5:30. Pregame show will begin at 4:30. Right here on the Zone Sports Network. But fired up, man. This is going to be a fun weekend of college football, including, of course, as we mentioned, BYU. Trying to keep that momentum after that big win against the University of Utah.
Well, yeah, they can't have a letdown here. Like, it's really important that they figure out what Arizona State's going to be doing and come out. But it seems like they came out of Utah almost more healthy than they went into Utah.
Yeah. And that's going to be the interesting thing because, you know, obviously with the momentum and the excitement and everything going along with BYU, I think, honestly, and I know Arizona State comes in as a favorite in this game, but I don't know, Hans. The way they looked last week, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see BYU come away with a W coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, there's a real possibility for it. You know,
you picked it. I picked it. Lloyd hates on all things BYU, so he took Arizona State.
What are you doing?
We did notice that, Lloyd.
Yeah, I know you did.
Everybody noticed it. But, you know, I mentioned going into that Utah game, there were a lot of question marks with Neil Pau and Puka Nacua and Gunnar Romney, and there were a lot of question marks for the offensive targets. We knew that Max Tooley was working his way back in. But then we saw them play in that game. They all felt like they played fairly healthy and played pretty well. I know that they were playing through pain.
Yeah.
But I came out of that game actually thinking, all right, well, then they should absolutely be available and ready for Arizona State. Give them a little bit more rest, continue to rehab, work through those injuries. But they didn't look any worse for the wear after that game. They didn't look any worse for the wear going through that game. So I've got a bit of optimism looking at BYU's roster right now and feeling like they're just getting a little bit deeper as guys are getting more and more healthy. And coming through a physical game like Utah and not seeing somebody go down and shaking your head and thinking, man, this happens every time. It's a physical game. But feeling like BYU comes out of that thing with momentum and health, there's a lot of positive ways to look at that.
You know, I want to go back to the summer, and I think at initial glance we looked at the roster, or not, we looked at the schedule and said, okay, this could be a problem. This team could be, you know, 5-7, 6-6, maybe 7-5. And then you were, I think, one of the first to really come up and start talking about, hey, wait a minute, this depth might be better than we give it credit for. This talent level, even though they lost a ton of talent off of last year's team, maybe better than we're giving it credit for. Well, I think after the first two games, I think we can all safely say that this team deserves a lot more credit, and props to you for kind of picking on it early and saying, hey, this team, let's not sleep on BYU. I know they lost a lot, and a lot of these guys are playing in the pros, including the number two overall pick, but this is a team that can still get it done, and so far that's certainly been the case.
Well, it was weird because there were certain names that started jumping off the roster when we were getting ready for spring ball, and I was looking at the multiple playmakers that were coming back, including their entire linebacking group, and I felt like they've got plenty of talent. But as I've stated, I think that it did slim out some of their depth on the offensive line specifically, where they don't have a lot of room behind the guys that have stepped up and come back. But the guys that did come back and the guys that we saw starting in spring gave us indicators that this could be a really good team.
Yeah.
And so there was a certain amount of optimism going into this season, but I can't imagine, unless, you know, you're a Lima Harrington, picking BYU to be 3-0 through the first three games. You just, unless you're like a, you know, an absolute BYU fanatic and you can't see past your own nose, it would have been really hard to pick them to be 3-0. So they have a chance to do that against Arizona State, a very big chance to do that against Arizona State. And, yeah, Scotty, I can see it, and, yeah, I picked it, but there's also that thought in the back of your mind of it's going to be a difficult matchup in Arizona State. The Sun Devils have a lot of pride, and we still don't know a lot about them. I mean, we know some. They got four returning starters on their offensive line. Their quarterback's a returner. We know some of the things that they want to try to do defensively, but I still don't know how to feel about Arizona State in general. I had originally picked Arizona State to win the South until Herm Edwards and his staff got in a lot of trouble and three of his staff members were thrown out the door and not allowed to come back.
Yeah.
And so after that, I thought, well, at some point there's going to be a leak. At some point there's going to be an issue not having your three paid assistant coaches in that building. Now, I thought that Michelle broke it down extremely well yesterday, and she talked about the GAs and the coaches that have stepped in. And it's exactly what we thought it was when we were talking about it on Tuesday, I think it was, Scotty, or Wednesday maybe.
Yeah.
That Arizona State, they don't have their paid assistants. They've got a graduate assistant right now that I think is working with the wide receivers, or was it DBs? I can't remember which it was.
I think it's the wide receivers.
So you've got a graduate assistant. She felt okay about the tight ends coach that has come in and kind of taken over things. But I talked about, in detail, I talked about how that could play into a game that's as closely matched and hotly contested as this BYU-Arizona State game. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as looking at BYU's blitzing scheme against Utah and Arizona and saying, well, this is how I'd like to run my tight ends in help blocking. Or I've got an idea on how we can use double tight. Or I've got some thoughts on using our wide receivers for flares in blocking. Or getting our wide receivers connected. We got a bunch set that we're going to run. Like, there's all kinds of suggestions that come from your paid assistants that have earned their way into that assistant role that are now on the outside looking in. Now, they could still throw suggestions. I know that they could still call Herm and they could still be like, hey, Herm, just remember, hey, tell that GA that to connect those tight ends, make sure that they get connected. But they can't be out there working with the tight ends.
No. Nope.
They can't be out there working with the wide receivers. So I believe at some point that is going to cause a bit of a problem.
You know, in our conversation with the beat writer, she mentioned that, you know, it's going to affect him long term in terms of recruiting. But I got to imagine it. And that's why, you know, I love when you break this stuff down, because you know how these practices go. You know what those meeting rooms are like, and you know the level of difficulty that comes when you don't get those kind of answers and that kind of help.
Well,
I mean, wasn't it a GA or no, it was a, you know, some guy that messed you up.
Yeah.
In the pros, because yeah, he had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, he was offensive line assistant, the assistant to the old line coach, Howard Mudd, and he didn't know his head from a hole in the ground. And I would ask him questions. He'd tell me what to do. I'd do it, and then Howard would be in film saying, what are you doing? What is this? And I couldn't look back at the coach who's sitting in the meeting room and be like, he told me to do it. Well, that's not on him. That's on you. You're supposed to do your study, blah, blah, blah. You know, and you're like, crap. So you got to just sit there and stomach it. But I want to make this point too, because these coaches can call the coordinators and they can call the GAs and they can be a part of that game plan. But Scotty, I mean, even going back to your high school time, all of us at some point remember, and I can remember at every level, college and in the pros, where sometimes there's a change made on the field during practice. Where you're watching, you know, you're having your scout team run those different blitz looks that BYU's ran the first couple of weeks to get those pressures, and you put this new formation or this tight end chip help or this, you know, tight end double team, whatever you're doing, and on the field you're like, oh no, you know, that's not working. Let's reorganize and let's do this. Well, it takes those eyeballs from those professional assistants to see something like that and then make a change and then be able to get a tight end to do it or a wide receiver to do it on the field, not on a chalkboard, not on a phone call, but actually doing it on the field. It always presents different. You're sitting there watching the X's and O's. You're sitting there watching the film. And then you take your install, you go to the field, and you try it, and it doesn't work. Or something's wrong. There's a, you know, you end up having two dudes step into the same direction, and it's like, nope, we got to straighten this out. And not having your assistants there with their eyeballs on practice, I think it could play a role.
I think it plays a big role. I really do. You know, and the other factor I want to, okay, throughout a lot of this winning streak of the University of Utah, a lot of these games were played at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. A lot of the times that place was hyped and it was rocking, but it just kind of felt different. I know you had people there at the game that you've talked to.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that place can replicate that same kind of energy and that same kind of emotion, if they can replicate that against Arizona State, it's the same start time. You know, conditions are pretty much the same. If that plays a factor in this game as well, because it sure seemed like it did against the University of Utah, even though Utah's played there a bunch and never seemed to be fazed by it before, but it sure seemed like that was a part of the game last Saturday.
I don't No, like I think that they can replicate it maybe against Arizona State, maybe.
I mean, they got South Florida next week. That's not going to happen against South Florida, but Arizona State, hey, it should.
It should. That environment was insane. And yeah, it definitely played a role. There's no question. It played a role. Momentum, every little play that BYU made, that place was going absolutely bonkers. I hope they do, Scotty. It's just, it's hard to sell a ticket nowadays. It's so difficult to sell a ticket.
Yeah.
So many different comforts of home. But I do hope that BYU fans, I hope that Utah fans, and I hope that Utah State fans understand that when I was playing the game, having a stadium full of people that were wearing your colors, that were cheering your name and your team, it really does make a difference. And having a stadium that's just kind of spotted with people and you feel a bit of apathy and things aren't real exciting, that makes a difference. And I think BYU football players right now kind of established that taste in their home opener against Utah. And I think if it was less than what you had against Utah, I think the BYU football players would be looking around like, what's wrong with people?
Yeah.
We beat Utah. We beat our rivals. We beat two Pac-12 teams. What's wrong with you guys? Why wouldn't you come to our stadium? Why wouldn't you come to our game? Whether that's Arizona State or South Florida. I do think that South Florida game at home will have the win or loss of this game will have a tremendous amount of impact on that South Florida game.
Yeah.
I think if you beat Arizona State, South Florida could be 90% full. I think if you lose to Arizona State, South Florida could announce an 80% sellout, but you know, you'll probably have 70%, 60% attendance. So that's not just BYU fans. That's just the world of sports right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So don't think that I'm harping on a certain fan base. I do think, though, that this is going to be a pretty burnt, kind of high emotion, intense environment that the fans are going to bring for this Arizona State game. I think they feel it. Don't you, Scotty? I think BYU fans can kind of sense it in the air that there might be something special here, and I think that they all want to be there to witness it.
I mean, you add the Big 12, you add all this other news that's just going on, and everything seems to be going right, and I think it carries over for sure. I mean, there's just that general vibe and general excitement with what we're seeing right now around this program seems to get people, you know, you know, pretty passionate about the state of affairs in Provo. So yeah, I you get that buzz, you get that sense, and I certainly think it'll bleed over this week. And you're right, they win this week, they're 3-0, and 3-0 against the Pac-12, with one of those being the University of Utah. Then yeah, people will just want to go to the game regardless of who they're playing. It's like, all right, South Florida doesn't matter, we're still going to the game because we need to watch this team play, and this team, you know, deserves the attendance of going to this game for sure. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hey, keep listening. Coming up in about 6 minutes from right now, we will be giving away tickets, Hans, to go see BYU and Arizona State. And next week is going to be fun because we got Utah State at home. We got Utah at home. And you've got BYU at home. So we will be giving away tickets next week to all three of those games for Utah. Utah State will be playing Boise State. That's going to be a good ticket. You've got Utah opening up against Washington State. BYU will be taking on South Florida. So we'll be giving away tickets all week long for those three home games. And every show will be giving away tickets. So, hey, there's no other place to be, Hans, than right here. Let's give away some tickets. Let's have some fun.
I love it.
All right, Katie joins us right now from Homey. Katie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing well. All right, so let's talk about the opportunity not only to buy your home, but to sell your home as well. If you're on both sides of that, and let's say you found your dream home, but you got to sell the home you're currently in to make it happen, Homey can take care of all of that.
Yeah, for sure. We're a one-stop shop. We've got everything under one roof, so we've got incredible listing agents that are going to help save you thousands. In the current market we're in right now, you could save as much as $11,000 on commissions. And think of what that savings can do as you're going in to buy a new home. And then we have amazing buy-side agents who are going to give you up to 50% of their commission back. So again, in today's market, that's $7,500 that you could be saving. And again, what can that savings do for you? So we've got experts that are going to help you save money both on the buy side and the sell side and make sure we get you in the home of your dreams.
I just love how universal you guys have become, but I also love how much you can specify in a certain area. It's incredible. Like, things intensify. I want people to understand that when you're dealing in the buy side, you're dealing with incredible agents with vast amount of experience. When you're dealing in the refinancing department, you are dealing with lenders that have been doing this for years. Alex, who I've been working with in a refi situation, has given me so much great advice. When you're working in sales, and you know, Katie, I called you and you set me up with Jinya, and I've worked with her in certain areas of sales and buys, and they're specific in every category, and they're experts in every category. And I really want to—I want people to understand that, Katie. You guys are incredible in every area that you head up.
Exactly. We've been doing this not only for years, but we're doing so much more than a traditional agent would be because we have so much more volume in the way that we've simplified the process. Our agents are focused just on listings, or our agents are focused just on the buy side. Our loan officers have been doing this for so long, and they're doing so many that they know exactly what they're talking about. They're experts at what they do, and they're here to make sure that they've got your back, and they're going to be saving you as much money as possible.
Go to Homey.com for more information on that. That's Homey.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. After a disappointing loss in the Holy War, the Utes look to rebound as they hit the road to square off against an old Mountain West Conference rival in San Diego State. Catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 4, with a postgame show immediately following the game on the Zone Sports Network. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Then 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's
time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
One of my favorite times doing sports radio and having an opportunity to make somebody's day extremely special. And that's what we get to do right now. I've got a ticket. Actually, I've got two tickets to the BYU Arizona State game coming up tomorrow night at 8:15. And all you got to do is be caller number 12 at 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-9663 right now, and you can win a pair of tickets to go watch BYU Arizona State coming up tomorrow night.
What?
Yeah. It's been fun. I've been listening to the station, and the station has done a fantastic job. All shows able to give away tickets, and we're going to be doing this all through the year, right, Lloyd?
All through the year.
We're going to have tickets
BYU,
to be given away.
Weber State, Utah State, you name it. Like, we're giving away the tickets.
And this is a big ticket, man. And this is a good ticket. You actually get to dance with Kalani after the game. This ticket gives you the opportunity to dance with Kalani after the game from your own seat.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a sec. Going to be able to get down there and jig a little bit? Nice.
I just saw at a Sports Center or something had Kalani on, and they were replaying a video of him. He did a lot of, I think they're TikToks, or he did a lot of videos where his daughters, well, his family, they're all into dance, and they were choreographing some things, and he was dancing with his family, and Sports Center, whatever it was, that just had him on an interview, replayed some of his dancing. He's a good dancer. He's always been a good dancer. That's what people don't understand. Kalani is a character. He is full of fun. He is pure joy. Joy to be around. It's kind of tough for me. I'm in a tough position at times with having to analyze these games and give as much of an unbiased opinion as I possibly can. And I've talked to Kalani multiple times about it. Kalani knows that I know football. And he knows that I have to give a good assessment of football. But there certainly is a part of me that wants to see Kalani succeed in every way. And it's been really nice to see him succeed at BYU. And you can see why. You watch his expression after a game. That's just pure joy and passion. That's who he is. That's who he was as a player. He was a leader. He was our team captain. He was a leader for a reason. And I love seeing him be able to have fun and show his team how much fun he is. He is not Lavelle Edwards. He learned from Lavelle, but he is not Lavelle Edwards. He is not Kyle Whittingham. He learned from Kyle Whittingham, but he's not Kyle. He's Kalani Sitake. And for anybody to want anything other than Kalani Sitake from him, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. He's a man that's full of passion, excitement, joy. He's funny. He's unique. He loves to express himself through dance. He likes to have funny comments. Let him enjoy it. I know every time I see him dance, I enjoy it. It brings a lot of joy to my heart to see him just loving what he does. And hopefully BYU fans can get on board with that, because the more they win, the more you're going to see him dance. The more they win, the more you're going to see him open up. And you're going to get to know the real Kalani Sitake. I'm glad that I have had a chance to get to know him, get to know the person that he is. And I've been able to do that since 1997 when he came back from his mission. And it's not just Kalani. It's the entire Satake family. Papa Satake is one of my favorite people on this earth, Kalani's dad. Actually, I like Papa Satake more than I like Kalani. Actually, I like TJ Satake more than I like Kalani. There's so many good people in that family. And each of them know the admiration that I've got for them. And it's good to see them having that success.
So you like everybody more than Kalani?
In the Satake family, yes.
Kalani seems like a pretty good dude.
I know he's a good dude, but I even like
They're
Timberly.
Better, huh?
I even like Timberly, his wife, better than I like Kalani. Kalani married up. And so eventually we go down the Satake line. I'll get there. It'll just take me some time to get the Kalani. All right. This is our chance to put together all the different sports headlines that we have not had a chance to get to. We throw them on a sports roulette wheel. We spin it wherever it lands. That's what we talked about. Sports roulette brought to you by Davis Vision. During the month of January of next year, possibly, you could save $1,000 off LASIK. Call 801-253-3080. That's Davis Vision. Can't wait till next January. I'm excited about it. All right, Lloyd. Spin it.
Well, this sounds stupid.
All right, Lloyd, I want to get your thoughts on this. So it sounds really stupid to me, and I've got a few reasons that I've said this. The Indianapolis Colts are going to be making their debut on Hard Knocks later during the regular season. Yes, you heard me right. Everybody hopefully has heard me right. Hard Knocks is going to continue. Instead of only doing camp, they're going to continue to film the locker room, film aspects of travel, film aspects of the game, and bring it to the HBO viewers throughout the regular season. We've seen it time and time again, where they've got their cameras out there during camp and they're following around players. And I watched about two episodes of the first season in 2000. I think it was two, because it was my rookie year in the NFL. Might have been one or two with Todd Heaps. We talked about Saragusa. We talked about Lewis and the others. I watched a little bit of it and didn't like it then. I tried to watch a little bit of it when I retired. I didn't like it then. Tried to watch a little bit of it 2 years ago. Didn't like it then. I don't like any part of it. And I really don't like the regular season aspect of things. But, okay, so we have not seen the Raiders on Hard Knocks yet.
Correct? No, and I don't think we ever will. Like, it's something that, like, the Davises...
They're fighting it against it.
Yeah, like, they're on the opposite end of it. Like, they don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, they definitely...
And, or else they would have been when they moved to Las Vegas. They would have been a part of that.
And I don't think Gruden wants to be a part of it. But would you like to see HBO cameras in those locker rooms during the regular season? You might.
You know what, to be honest with you, as a fan, I don't think I would, because I don't want to have my team being distracted with all that stuff.
And
there's enough distractions as it is.
Could be a distraction. People could be like, oh no, the cameras don't get in the way. They don't. The cameras don't. You know, our senior year where Lavelle Edwards was on his way out, we had a camera crew that followed the team around. They were on all the planes and cameras and interviews, and they interviewed us all the time and interviewed Lavelle. They were kind of doing a full DVD set for Lavelle Edwards' career at BYU. And the cameras were in our locker rooms, and they were all around. And they do a great job. They stay out of the way, and there's only some interviews. But still, Lloyd, it's a distraction. It's a distraction. I've got to imagine the Hard Knocks cameras even more of a distraction. Now, I know that people are saying to themselves, oh, well, we've already seen this. We've seen regular season coverage. What was it, Amazon Prime that did that? But they posted it after the season was done. This is going to be live coverage during, not live, but they're covering during the season and then releasing the episode the following week.
See, I'm not necessarily a fan of that. If you want to do it for the camp leading up to that type stuff, that's I find some of that a little bit intriguing. I'm not as into it as I used to be, but the first one they had, I thought it was pretty cool. But then I kept waiting for the Raiders to do it because I'm like, oh, and then they never came, so I stopped watching it. It wasn't that big of a deal to me.
Well, see, I never liked this because I always remember the worst points in my life, the absolute bottom barrel parts of my life were in the NFL or a part of the NFL. Whether it was being cut, whether it was giving up a big sack, which I did give up a big sack, and it was incredibly embarrassing. And I know I was only in the league a short time. I came in as a defensive lineman. They moved me to offensive line. And I did everything I could to make it for as much time as I could make it. But there are a lot of terrible moments in a man's life that is happening in that locker room, that's happening week to week. And the last thing I would have wanted was anybody get to see a deeper aspect of the worst moments of my life.
And
we're already on display. You really need to see more of the humiliation or more of the triumph.
I get more of what you're saying now that I've heard some of the stuff that you went through in your career and the devastation of being cut. And so I get more of that, a little bit more of that side. But when you're a fan of a team, you live in, there was a time that I lived and died with the Raiders. Not as much anymore because they haven't given me anything in like 20 something years. But there was a time that I lived and died. Like, I wanted to know everything about the Raiders, and it wasn't as prevalent. But having this, you want to know, hey, you want to be in the locker room. Like, you want that inside experience. So there's a part of me that also understands that as a fan, because there was a time I would be like, man, I wanted to see what Bo Jackson was up to for his pregame or his up to camp, leading up to the season. What was Marcus Allen up to? What Tim Brown, whoever, there's a part of me that was like, I wanted to see what was going on.
Yeah.
What was happening in that? But maybe the in-season one's a little bit not as. I still think it's a distraction regardless, but maybe it's not as intrusive on moments like that.
Well,
I don't know.
However it is, Lloyd,
I won't tune into the regular season one because I barely tune in for the regular one right now.
Well, that's the other thing. I don't know how interesting the Colts are right now. They're trying to get Carson Wentz going again. He was obviously a number two overall pick back in 2016, but ended up struggling really badly with Philadelphia. Threw 16 picks and was sacked 50 times in 12 games. And then remember, the Eagles benched him. And that's the storyline with the Colts. The Colts might be one of the top five least interesting storylines in the NFL right now to me.
And that's probably why they were like, sure. That's probably why they said, okay, because we don't have a lot of interest in us right now, maybe. Maybe that's why they would agree to something like this.
Because I just don't care.
If I'm a contender, I don't want this. I'm getting enough pub. I don't want this in my locker room.
But it's really tough because as a football player, I wanted my failures to be between me and my teammates and me and my family as much as possible. And I know that those failures are broadcast, and I know that people can pick them apart, but I don't want a camera in my face in those moments. And there were certain parts of celebration that I wanted private. And those times in the NFL are very difficult, very emotional. And I know that's why you want cameras in there, but I sure don't like it. Lloyd, do we have time? Let's spin it again.
Wait. Darren Williams was a state champ wrestler?
Yeah, so this is bizarre. Yeah, the Utah Jazz guard, Darren Williams. So I was listening to an interview. This guy's name's Ryan Spann. He's a UFC fighter. And he is a very good UFC fighter. He's light heavyweight. And he's very tough. He's about 6'5", about 210 pounds. And he's a brawler. And apparently, Lloyd, he's been training at Darren Williams' gym in Texas. Darren Williams has an MMA gym, or he's got a gym that facilitates all areas of sport. And this guy, Ryan Spann, has been training in this gym in Texas that is owned by Darren Williams. Well, apparently, Darren came into the training facility, and Ryan Spann was talking about this in an interview, and he said, I was training for a fight, and my coach was like, hey, Darren, get in. And I already know he hooped, and I knew who he was, but I never got to fight with him. I think it was my second or third round with a fresh body, and you put Darren in, and I was like, oh, dang, nice. I'm going to get a round off. Little did I know, Darren used to be a wrestler, and he was about 230 pounds at the time. Lloyd, he goes on to say that Darren Williams undid him, that Darren got him down, and Darren was beating him up. Darren Williams.
D. Will is an absolute freak of an athlete.
He's an athlete.
Yeah.
But I've never, I lost a lot of respect in certain aspects of the way Darren Williams concluded his career. I lost a lot of respect for him for the way he treated media. One man in particular that I've got a lot of respect for, and I didn't like the way he treated him.
I didn't like how he answered my question and treated that guy that way.
Was that your question?
That was my question, yeah.
That got that response?
That got that response. He was in the middle, so that person asked a question before, and he got done answering it, and then went into my question, and then I asked my question, and then he's like, and then that person walked away, and he said, I hate that.
That was it.
Bleep. And then he's like, well, wait. And then he finished answering my question.
I think a lot of people lost respect for Darren when everything went down with Jerry Sloan, but I also think that Darren has done a lot of repair work here in the state of Utah. And I think a lot of people have forgiven him. But I got to tell you, Lloyd, after finding this out, I've got a newfound respect for Darren Williams. He is a heck of a golfer. I know he kind of takes around the local golf circuit and does his thing. I know that he obviously was an incredible basketball player, but he has state titles in Texas from the years 1993 and 1997. He won state titles. Now, he was a younger kid.
But I'm sure he was still he was a stout guard. So I'm sure he was pretty stout then, too.
He was a stout wrestler. And he actually...
Not a state wrestler, a stout wrestler.
Okay, not a stout wrestler. Now, this is what's funny. So Darren gets in there, and he wrestles this guy, this UFC fighter named Ryan Spann. And Ryan said he got him. Darren got Ryan down and got him. He said the next round was sparring. And he said Darren came out and hit him with a pretty good stinger. Threw a nice stick, got him right in the face. And I guess Ryan Spann came over the top and popped Darren. And he hasn't seen Darren in the gym since.
That's funny.
So he landed a pretty ugly one on Darren Williams. And Darren Williams hasn't showed up in the gym since. But I love the interview. It was cracking me up. Again, UFC fighter Ryan Spann talking about Darren Williams and the time that former Jazz guard Darren Williams stepped into a UFC ring to spar with Ryan Spann. Fantastic interview. A lot of fun. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come and get you ready for the top of the 1 o'clock hour. That's all coming up on Hans and Scotty, 95-12 into the Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Samson Nacua joins us now, BYU wide receiver.
The schedule goes on, and it was a big emotional win. Fans stormed the field. We all saw all that stuff. How do you put that behind you now? Because you got a whole bunch of games. You got another Pac-12 team coming up this week.
I think it's an easy win to put behind us. I think that game is just another game to us for what we have planned for this year, and we have to focus on this next game. We want to do big things this year. We want to show everyone that last year wasn't a fluke, that we can do the same thing, and it starts with this game again. We knocked out two Pac-12 teams already. Let's knock out one more Pac-12 team and then move into regular season and show everyone what we can do.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
not very often that Scotty and I get down to Utah County, but we're going to be at the University Federal Credit Union grand opening of their Lehigh Meadowbrook branch. That's going to be this coming Monday, the 20th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., 101 North, 1200 East in Lehigh. Again, Utah County, you're on alert. We never come down that way. And it feels like at times Scotty G's in cahoots with the sales staff, and every one of our broadcasts are north of Salt Lake. But finally, we're getting down to Utah County. So if you've ever wondered about stopping by, saying hi, grabbing some jazz gear, checking some things out, this is going to be the grand opening for the Federal Credit Union, there in Lehigh Meadowbrook branch. So
because nearly usually you guys are up right by Logan, like typically.
Yeah, it would typically by Logan, if not by Logan, right there in the Bountiful Bench area. Right. I can't believe how many sales we've had on remotes right there in the Bountiful Bench area.
It's, I remember there used to be a sales guy that used to always sell Tooele, like a lot.
Yeah. Chad?
No. But there was a guy that used to sell Tooele a ton, and there was always just remotes, and he was always behind them because he lived out there.
Well, I lived out in Saratoga Springs, and I remember we had a remote at a Denny's in Tooele. And this is back when I was doing the morning show. So I was leaving my house at about 4:30 in the morning to get to this Denny's back on the backside of Tooele. And from Saratoga Springs, there's a back route that you can go back around by the Dugway Proving Grounds and back through Stockton. It's back behind Oak Grove Mountains, but it's a long drive. And Lloyd, I remember being back behind the mountains somewhere by the Dugway Proving Ground and getting a call and them saying, "We couldn't get connected. We're no longer at the Denny's. Head to the studio." And I was like, oh, man, just unbelievable. But excited to be out in the Lehigh area coming up next week. That's going to be Monday.
I
was
actually doing your
week.
Show at that time, so I think I actually remember when that happened.
Yeah, when the Denny's remote got canceled?
Yes,
I do. Oh, it was ridiculous. Joining us now, and by the way, we are going to be talking with Arizona State beat writer Michelle, who has done a fantastic job all things Arizona State. Michelle Gardner has been covering them for many, many years. So you'll be hearing from Michelle Gardner coming up. We'll take a deep look at Arizona State's roster, who's healthy, who's coaching, and all kinds of questions for Arizona State coming up here shortly. But we are joined by one of my favorites, Katie from Homie. Katie, how you doing? How you holding up?
No, doing great.
Is everything okay with the foot? You doing all right?
Yes, I broke my foot, and now we've got a kid with COVID. So, you know, BYU won last weekend, so I can't be too upset, but, you know.
It cancels out, right?
Did she tell you when she broke her foot?
No.
Feel free to share if you wouldn't mind.
What happened?
Because it shows how tough she is, because I wouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah, my leg has actually been broken since February.
What?
And I just found out.
Are you serious? You've been walking on a broken leg since February?
Just dealing
yeah.
with it.
Yeah, it hurt really bad, and I just never knew what was wrong. So it's been broken since February.
Just a Charlie horse. Go away.
There's a classic line in the movie Predator from Jesse Ventura when he gets shot, and his buddy says, "You're bleeding," and he says, "I ain't got time to bleed." Katie ain't got time to be hurt. You got work,
to sail and buy.
Yeah, you got things are busy. Katie's got to be on the road. She's busy.
I'm busy, yeah.
Speaking of being busy, and everybody understands why you're busy, the real estate world in Utah is booming. It is going crazy. I know we've talked a lot about being a cash buyer, and Homie can do that for you. They can make you a cash buyer. They front the cash so you can purchase with cash, and that gets you the home that you're looking for. Because I know that people out there that are looking to buy, they've been beat on so many bids because they aren't a cash buyer. Homie can do that for you. But Katie, I want to talk about getting 50% of buying agent fees back as a buyer.
Yeah, it's huge. And, you know, in the past, we've given up to $5,000 back. Now we're just upping that even more because the helm prices have gone up here in Utah and across the country. There's just a lack of inventory causing those home prices to go up. But
all is not lost. You can still get into a home. We can get you an incredible low rate with Homey Loans. We can make you a cash buyer. And now is an even better time to become a buyer with Homey. We're giving you up to 50% of the commission that we get as buyer agents, because we want to make sure that you get the home of your dreams and you're saving that money and you're getting as much home as possible for your money. We really want to make sure that you buy the home and win the home of your dreams.
Katie, I can't tell you how much I love the people that work at Homey. And I'm so grateful I've had a chance to work with so many of them, whether it was my first agent that helped me sell one of the condos, or it's Alex who's kind of helping me with this refinance process on a property, or it's Jinya who's helped me in so many different areas. I just, every one of you guys, you're sales experts, you're refi experts, you're people. You treat people so good, and I love that about Homey. I love that I can send people to Homey and I know that they are going to get the best care.
Yeah, and we're here for you guys, and we've got your back. All of your listeners, anyone that comes to us, we're here to make sure that we make everyone's homeownership dreams come true. I love everyone I work with, and I'm so grateful I get to do what I do.
Go to Homey.com to get started, whether you're buying, selling, or refinancing. Homey.com. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
Michelle Gardner, Arizona State beat writer, coming up next.